Father, we rejoice that our God reigns. We rejoice that you are our God. And we've arisen today with the realization it really is true, Father God. You really are our Father. We really are your sons and daughters. It's so wonderful, Father God, to understand how much you've done for us, that you've saved us and redeemed us from a devil's hell into newness of life through Christ Jesus. And we're so glad about that tonight. Father, this is your place. These are your people. This is your pasture. And so feed and shepherd your people. You know everybody here. You know everybody listening through some other venue. Father God, we ask you to direct your word to every heart. Direct your word to every life. May your word accomplish everything you send it to do in each individual. Speak to every situation. Speak to every person here going through trial, going through struggle, every person walking in victory. Speak to every person, no matter what their condition, no matter what their human plight. Speak into their lives tonight. Father God, we yield over to you and look unto you. And you are the great I am, and you're the great shepherd and bishop of our souls. And we're so glad you not only shepherd us corporately, but you shepherd us individually. And Lord Jesus, you said, even if the 99 are moving in one drifts, you'll leave the 99 and go get that one. And you shepherd us individually, and we're so glad about it. So thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for directing your word to every situation tonight, being glorified in this very service. And also, Father God, we want to thank you for unction and for utterance as we speak. And then for our pastors, thank you, Father, for continuing to bless them, strengthen them, keep them, use them, protect them, guard them, Father God. We just thank you for our pastors. And we'll just give you the glory for all that you see fit to do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise God. We'll turn and shake hands with one more person. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good. Praise God. You have your Bible. Turn to Genesis 39. There is a part of this chapter that for over a week now has been occupying a good part of my time and attention. Anyway, as we asked the Lord, we sensed that he just wanted us to share along these lines tonight with you. Genesis 39, of course, is the amazing story of Joseph. What an amazing man, what an amazing life. So many lessons can be learned and drawn from the life of Joseph. His story is so powerful. You know that God speaks to him, gives him a dream. He announces his dream in a jealous fit. His brothers react to him, and eventually, you know, they plot to kill him. And they change their mind at the end, and they don't kill him, but they throw him in a pit, and they sell him as a slave. And they sell him to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites auction him off to a man named Potiphar, who works for Pharaoh. And Potiphar takes Joseph and puts him in his house, and immediately the hand of the Lord is on this man, Joseph. And it affects everything in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar takes note of it. His household is way better off because he's giving Joseph increasing amounts of authority, and everything Joseph is touching is apparently turning to gold. And Potiphar is able to see that there's something about this man, something about what he's doing, something about the abilities that he has, that Potiphar eventually puts him in charge of his whole household. And then an ugly plot begins to take place, and we'll go down just below that plot, and we'll come back and talk about it. But the passage of Scripture that I want to share with you tonight is the verse 21. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 21. Look at that if you have your Bible. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him.
granted him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Now that's a powerful scripture because it gives insight into the background as to what was really making Joseph so successful. It gives us insight to know that God is willing to deal with a man, willing to deal with a woman in such a manner that he will invade their personal space and give them such influence that he will affect the lives, the businesses, the destinies of others because of his relationship with his sons and daughters. Joseph's life gives us keen insight to God's desire to help a man, God's desire to help a woman who will look to him. Joseph's life enables us to see unequivocally just how strong God is willing to back you. And I want you to know here tonight, it really doesn't matter what you're facing. We all face things. We all go through things from time to time. But let me tell you this, that matters not. What really matters is there is a God in heaven. And that God is your Father. And he has revealed himself as one who will not only stand by you, he will stand with you and cause you to have such favor and such remarkable influence. And of course, we see it all over the Bible. You can see it in the life of Daniel. God gave Daniel, those Hebrew boys, he gave them wisdom 10 times beyond that of their peers. They didn't get that wisdom on their own. The Bible says they were living for God. They were honoring God. They were obeying God. And he gave them wisdom beyond their years. And here in this amazing story of Joseph, it seems that when somebody is stepping on him, they're pressing him down. They just can't keep that man down because something, and we know from Genesis 39, 21, we know what the something is. It's our Heavenly Father keeps causing him to rise to the top. And you can be encouraged tonight because if there's something in your life that keeps pushing you down, pushing you down, pushing you down, hey, if you'll trust in your Father, he'll push you right back up again. And the good news tonight is that we don't have to worry about a man. We don't have to worry about a woman. We don't have to have our eyes on people if we'll concentrate on our Heavenly Father and if we'll just seek to please him. Somewhere I read, Proverbs 16, verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. God has shown he'll do extraordinary things in your behalf. But let me tell you this, Joseph has climbed into the grandstands of heaven. Joseph is no longer on the earthly scene. Joseph is no longer in need of the power of this type of favor. Joseph, his life is a testimony. His life preaches to you and I that if God did it for me, God will do it for you. Don't just read about me on the pages of scripture. Be encouraged because the Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's no respecter of persons. What he did for one, hey, he'll do for another. And the question tonight is, can you trust him in the midst of your adversity? But I want you to know if you can trust him, God will come through just like he came through for Joseph. Genesis 39, 21 should be an encouragement, should be a beacon of light that God has got victory for you on the other side. Whatever you're dealing with, God has destined, predetermined that you walk in victory. Joseph was there at Potiphar's house, and you know this story. If you're not, you should read the rest of Genesis 39. And the Bible says he was a good-looking, well-built man, Joseph was, and Potiphar was away. Potiphar, his boss, he was the captain of Pharaoh's guard. And he was away. And the Bible says Potiphar's wife keeps looking at him, at Joseph. And she keeps making advances toward Joseph. And apparently some of the work that Joseph had to do, he had to do with inside the house. And so he had to be around her. And the Bible says he kept avoiding her. The Bible gives us the information. Joseph, he only stayed there as long as he had to, and then he got out of the way. And finally, just an all-out assault comes against him. And she told Joseph just plainly, I want you to sleep with me, and he refused. And he gives a a scathing, powerful, holy response to her. And he tells Potiphar's wife, "Your husband's been good to me. In this house, he put me in charge, and he put nobody above me. And he said he's not withheld anything here from me. And he doesn't check on what I'm doing. And he said, the only thing he's withheld from me is you because you're his wife." Then Joseph said this, "How could I do this terrible sin and sin against God?" And he refused to do it. And the Bible says she pressed him day after day. She pressured him day after day. And so one day he goes in the house and she pressures him and he says no. And she pressures him and he says no. And she grabbed him and he had a coat on and he fled out of his coat. And she grabbed his coat and then she came up with a wicked story. And she told the story that Joseph had raped her and she waited for Potiphar to come home. And when Potiphar come home, she was still clinging to the coat, saying, "You're not going to believe what that Joseph did to me." And the Bible says Potiphar was furious at Joseph. And he took Joseph and threw him in prison. But it was there in the prison, about the time we come along to Genesis 39, verse 21. And you could look at it from that perspective. If you didn't read anymore, it would look like, man, Joseph has been snake bit. What is wrong with this man, Joseph? But oh, at verse 21, it says, But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and granted him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And when you read on down to the end, it says God caused everything that man did to prosper, made everything he touched turn to gold. Sounds a little bit like what God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, when God told him, "Meditate in the word day and night, and then you'll make your way prosperous. Your plans will succeed." But it is powerful that in the midst of amazing circumstance, this phrase, "But the Lord was with Joseph." Listen, one of the things I want to remind you of tonight is the Lord himself is with you. We know that cognitively. We know that in our, you know, in our head realm. We know, yeah, God's with me, God's with me, God's with me. But when's the last time you really consider that the God of heaven, the Lord of the universe, the great I am, he is with you right now? And you know, anytime you're facing something difficult, you know, even as kids, it was always, if you did something wrong, it was always difficult. If somebody else was in trouble, it was always a little easier. If somebody else is in trouble and you got caught on the carpet, it was always a little easier if somebody else was in trouble. Anybody else like that? We had a nun at Catholic school, Sister Loretta Ann. And Sister Loretta Ann, boy, she was self-appointed. You know, somebody did something wrong, they called Sister Loretta Ann to class. And Sister Loretta Ann, she had big, bulging green eyes. And she'd come into the classroom, and Sister Loretta Ann, she'd walk like a mafia figure. She'd walk in with confidence, boy. She said, "All you boys, get up against the blackboard." And then she'd go to each one with them bulging green eyes. "Did you do it?" And then she'd put them radar eyes in you. "Did you do it?" And somewhere along the line, somebody starts screaming, "I did it all, I did it all." I'm not kidding. Sister Loretta Ann was so convinced. Sometimes she'd make you want to confess to some stuff you ain't even do it. You see them big gold bulging eyes, you know, "Oh, did I do it? I don't know if I did it." The Lord was with him. And what the Bible is telling us when we see that phrase, "But the Lord was with Joseph," was that read through to the end of the story. Don't stop there, because everything is going to be all right. And the Bible is really saying it doesn't matter who came against him. It doesn't matter what the situation was. It doesn't matter how big the adversity. It doesn't matter how big the challenge. Hey, if God is with you, if God is on your side, everything gonna be all right. You might as well relax and throw your hands in the air, wave them like you just don't care, in praise to God. You might as well bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, because if God's with you, everything's gonna be all right. I said, when you realize God is with you, some of you dread going to work tomorrow. You say, "Oh boy, oh work, I gotta go to work, oh work. Oh, I don't wanna go to work. Oh God, I gotta go to work, oh God." But do you realize God is going with you?
Amen.
You ought to realize when you walk through that door, the Lord is stepping right in the door with you. You going in the door, angels coming right up in there with you. You are not alone when you're going in there. Somebody said, I feel so alone. How can you be alone if God is with you? You say, I feel alone. I'm alone. I feel so alone. But the Bible said, hey, if God be for you, who can be against you? Turn with me over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. God's with you. He is with you. You need to remind yourself. You need to look in the mirror, remind yourself, God is with me. God is with me. Lord, you're with me. You're with me. You are with me. Glory to God. You are with me. You are with me. There are huge benefits to moving beyond the realm of the head knowledge that God is with you and having a meditative, heartfelt knowledge that the God of heaven is with you. There are huge benefits. I said, your day will never be the same when you realize God's with you. You home, walking around your apartment by yourself. Listen, let me tell you this, remind yourself, God is with you. God is with you. You said, I'm alone, I feel alone. How can you be alone if God is with you? But I tell you, go, Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I like that. So the Bible said, if God is for you, then who can be against you? See, the great benefit of knowing that God is with you, the great benefit of knowing that is that then people, that takes people out of the equation. Nobody, no situation, no circumstance can come against you. If you know God is with me, God has shown up with me. It will strengthen you. It will encourage you. It will build you up. It will give you the strength you need to face whatever it is you're going through. When you know God's with you, you can put a smile on your face. Everything will be all right. The Lord is with me. God's going to bring me through. God's going to bring me out. If God be with you, then who can be against you? Wow. When you go on reading, it says that he's overwhelmingly given us the ability to conquer through Christ Jesus. Go with me to Hebrews 13 now. Hebrews 13 and 5. We're talking about this phrase, verse 21, talking about Joseph, but the Lord was with Joseph. I'm saying tonight that the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Praise God. Glory to God. He's with you. Praise God. And over in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, it says this, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? When you realize that the Lord is with you, see, if you're fearful tonight, then you need to go meditate on the fact that God is with you. The God of heaven, the great I am, that he's with you. And if he's with you, he's not going to let anything happen to you. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen.
Amen.
Somehow we think in our mind that the God of heaven can be with us and he's just going to let us drown. You say, well, God is with me. He's just here to do my funeral. No, God is here to help you. He's here to lift you up. He's here to bless you. Don't be like the disciples in that boat. The storm rose up and Jesus was with them. They knew Jesus was with them. They said, okay, well, Jesus is with us. You know, they woke him up. Don't you care? We're going to drown. Don't you care? Carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus stood up and rebuked the wind. He rebuked the waves. Then he turned around and rebuked all of them. You know why he rebuked them? Because he expected them to use their faith. It was like an insult to say, how can I be on board this ship and you think this thing is going down? How can I be with you and you think this thing is going to fail? How can I be on board the ship of your life and you think we're going under? When did you arrive at the conclusion that suddenly you going down with me on board the ship of your life? He said, look, if I'm on board the ship of your life, your boat can be full of holes. It's still going to float. If I'm on board, Your motor can be out of gas. You're still going to go if I'm on board. You can be out of bread, but I'll make it happen. I'll put bread on the table if I'm on board. You may be looking for a roof over your head, but if I'm on board, you'll have a roof. You might be here tonight looking for a job, but hey, if Jesus is your Lord and if you'll trust him, it won't be long. It won't be long. It won't be long. A job will be right there for you. I said, there's no situation confronting you that God doesn't already have worked out. The real question, are we going to trust him? But to trust him, we have to have a heartfelt realization that he's with us personally. He's not just with your neighbor tonight. He's not just with Pastor and Mrs. Hagen tonight. He's with you. And you know one thing? You are the apple of his eye. I said you're the apple of his eye. And there's nothing he wouldn't do for you. And so here in Hebrews, God has said, never will I leave you or forsake you. They say in the original language, he says, never, 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 never will I leave you or forsake you. So that we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. You know one thing, when God is with you, you don't have to be afraid. And see, if something's making you fearful, then you need a new, fresh revelation of the fact that God's with you. Because when you get revelation, not just head knowledge, but when you get personal revelation, God's with me, hey, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. Don't have to worry about a thing. God's got me. God's got my back. God's got me covered. He's got a hedge around me. Don't have to be afraid. And see, if something's making you fearful, you need a fresh revelation. You need to know, hey, God's with you. You may know it up here, but once you get it down here, all fear will leave you like a bird leaving a roof. And you won't be afraid of any man, any woman, any situation. You'll know that God is somehow going to bring you through. And so the Lord was with Joseph, and he extended kindness to him, and he gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Now that is a powerful phrase, that God gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And the chief jailer concluded what Potiphar had concluded, that everything this man is touching is turning to gold. The chief jailer concluded that I need to put him in charge of the jail. And he put him in charge. He put him in charge of the prison. It's an amazing story. That from such a wicked plot, God lifts this man up. And what's God encouraging you? What's God encouraging? He's trying to tell you that there's nothing you're going through, nothing you can go through, that he won't lift you up and give you favor if you'll trust him. In the same way he gave it to Joseph, he desires, my friend, to give it to you. But this phrase here, God not only, he was with him and extended kindness to him. God extended kindness to him. Thank God. Aren't you glad God extends kindness to you? Think of all the great things God's done for you. Ways God has blessed you. Ways God has helped you. Things God has done for you. Anybody know what I'm talking about, or is it just me? His kindness to you. You cannot even count the kindness of God towards you. The times that God has shown you his kindness, you can't even count how many times God has shown and revealed his kindness to you and extended kindness to him and gave him favor with the chief jailer. Now, that's an interesting thing, because you see, it's amazing that, first of all, that God is with us. It's amazing that he extends kindness to us. But that becomes something that is just personal. We could live our lives with the goodness of God, with him being with us and showing kindness to us, and no one else might know about that. But then the Bible says here that he also granted him favor with the chief jailer. Now we see a situation where God's kindness has broke out. It's broke out the four walls of his prison cell, and now God's favor has extended upon the chief jailer for him. And God, he'll extend his favor on the chief boss man for you. He'll extend his favor on the chief boss lady for you. He will extend his favor with anybody with whom you have to do, you have to conduct business with, you have to associate with, you have to do things with, God, he will grant you favor. I remember I was having dinner with my son's daughter-in-law today, and I was, they had ordered a book of their wedding, and they were showing me the book or whatever, and I was looking at the book and just remembering, you know, back 3 years ago when we married them, and we married them on a cruise ship, and it was just a beautiful, we were all just, you know, reminiscing about it. And I asked the kids, I said, do you remember what happened when we got to the airport? And they said, oh, yes, we do. My daughter-in-law said, I've never seen a line at the Tulsa International Airport that long. And, you know, we were in time for the flight, but when we pulled up, I was going to pull up, let them out, then go and park the car, then come back. And so I pulled up just as a courtesy, let the family out. And you could see the lines all the way. The line is zigzagging all the way through that part of the airport. And I mean, we're on time, but that looks like something has gone severely wrong in the airport. And then when we get in there, they just said, hey, if you're going on such and such a flight, you're not going to make it, get out of the line. And, you know, we got to be in Florida. We got, you know, all kinds of things that when we get to Florida, then we were going to, we're throwing a party for the kids at the hotel. So we've got to get there. And then I've got to go out and get all the food for that and get that back to the hotel. And so we're just on a tight deadline. And to miss that flight, we can't even do the party. We can't even host a party if we miss that flight. The next one's not going until something, I don't know, 8 or 9 that night. And so we get in there and they just said, get out of the line. If you're on flight so-and-so, you're just not going to make it. Just get out of the line. And so I remember family said, they were saying to me, but you know, the interesting thing is on the way to the airport, we're in the car, everybody's excited. You know, the kid's about to get married. We're all excited, you know, and you know, we're going down a day early. We get there a day early and have a little party for them. And then we'll marry them the next day as we go out on the cruise. And so, you know, in the car on the way there, I started praying in the spirit. And I'm just saying, Lord, give us a safe trip. Lord, bless us today. And I started praying in the spirit, and immediately my spirit took hold of something. You understand what I'm talking about? I started praying in other tongues, and it just got stronger, stronger. Something is wrong. Something is not right. I don't know where it is. I don't know what it is, but it's something to do with this trip, and it ain't right. And I mean, we're driving there, they're chatting, and I'm praying up a storm. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I can tell there's something not right. And I mean, the Holy Ghost is taking hold with me. He's taking hold together with me against whatever it is. And I mean, we got tight deadlines. We got all kinds of things, and there's something not right. Something not right. And the Holy Ghost, he's warning me, something is not right. Something's not right. He's trying to help me. Don't ever override him when he starts trying to get your attention. Don't make him feel like you're too busy for all of that. You remember Balaam was riding that donkey, and the Lord was displeased of where he was going and what he was going to do. He was trying to curse Israel, and you remember God said, you can't curse what I blessed. And God sent an angel. I said, God said, you can't curse what I blessed. I said, God blessed you, and nobody can put a curse on you. God has already blessed you. Too late. Somebody said, I put a curse on you. Too late. God already blessed me. But an angel stood in the way. He was riding the, you remember Balaam? He's riding the donkey, and an angel stands in the way with a sword drawn. And he can't see it. He don't even know what's going. And the donkey leans up against the wall. The donkey sees the angel. And so he starts striking the donkey. And the donkey won't move. And finally, the donkey just sat down on him. Sat down. And he hit the donkey 3 times. And then the Bible said the Lord did an unusual thing. He opened the donkey's mouth. And the donkey started speaking to him. Now, Brother Bill's version of what happened, the donkey said, hey, fool. No, okay. Wait a minute, okay. That's my version. That's my version. Now, the donkey spoke to him. And the donkey said, what are you doing? There's an angel blocking the path. And he said, I told you to go. And the angel said, have I ever sat down on before? And he said, no. And he said, there's an angel. And then when he was able to see what he did, he was resisting the donkey in that case, but the donkey was there to protect him. What are you saying? Don't resist the Holy Ghost when he's trying to help you. He's our great helper. He's the one who's been sent alongside to help us in every circumstance, in every situation in life. He will help you tonight with situations that you don't even know about that will happen on the job tomorrow if you'll let him. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. I said, he'll help you. But when we push him off, we're too busy. We're too busy. I got to go. Yeah. I'll pray about it. Watch out. Because he'll just let you go. And he'll help you later pick up the pieces. Thank God he's a merciful, kind God. He'll help us all he can. I said, thank God. But the thing about it is, if we'll trust him and yield unto him, he can help us. And see, God, he's a God who sees ahead. And then he can warn his servants or give us directions. He can tell us, go left right here, go right there. When we trust him. Like the man from church told me one time, from our church told me, he said, I had a good job. Everything was going great on my job. No problem on my job. The Lord told me, get up and go to a job fair. Get up and go to a job fair. Said, I don't want to go to any job fair, Lord. I already got a job. What do I need to go to a job fair for? The Lord said, go to the job fair. Went to the job fair. Said, I was walking around. People said, hey, you want to fill out an application? No, I already got a job. Want to fill out an application? No, I already got a job. Hey, want to fill out? No, I got a job. Finally, somebody prevailed upon, just fill out the application anyway. What do you know? Fill it out anyway. He said, okay, fill it out. Said, I already got a job. Then he said, by Monday, went to work, and his job told him we're laying people off and laid him off. But when he got home, on his voicemail, there's a recording from the place where he filled out the application. Said, we know that you have a job, but we want to hire you anyway if you'll come in, and we want you to fill out another application. We're interested in hiring you. Went down there and got that job just like that. Well, who was the one telling him to go down there to the job fair? He wouldn't have gone. God was telling him to go down to the job fair. The Holy Ghost was trying to help him. The Holy Ghost knew what was going to happen Monday. The Holy Ghost knew that on Friday. I wish I had a bigger amen in here. So you say, what happened? So I'm praying in the Holy Ghost in the car. Man, I'm praying and the Holy Ghost is helping me. And I'm praying up a storm. I don't know what it is. But then when we got almost to the airport, man, I got a release in my spirit. And boy, peace hit me and joy and comfort. And I knew whatever it is, we got it. We got the answer. Don't know what it is, but we got the answer. And then within a few moments, pull up and see that crowd. And then after they got out and I went and parked the car, came back, they said, we're not going to get on the flight. They told us, they've already told us to get out of line. So you want us to get out of line? I said, no, don't get out of line. Found a sky cat. She said, I don't know if I can help you, sir, because, you know, these people aren't going to make it. You're not going to make it either. I said, you are my angel in here today. And God's going to give you wisdom somehow. He's going to help you. You're my angel. She said, okay, I'm going to do everything I can for you. She stood up there with our tickets. She was holding it's just a long line, just zigzagging back. She went over to the ticket agent. She's holding our tickets. And they just ignored her. She's trying to put them over there. They just ignored her. She came out. She came back to me. She said, let me give you your tickets back. She said, there's no way you're getting on that flight. I gave the tickets back to her. I said, we're going to get on that flight one way or another. Just try somewhere. I said, you just try again. You, my angel, you just try again. She went to the other side. Just stood over there. They just ignored her. Just moved them closer. They just ignored her. Finally, the lady just went up and said, give me those, and just processed all our tickets and just said, who are they? You know, called Ray, and got us all on there. I gave a lady a $40 tip. Said, you are our angel today. We got on that flight, got where we need to do. What are you talking about? God will give you favor. But sometimes we have to pay attention to him. You understand what I'm saying to you? In the details, when he's trying to warn us, when he's trying to help us, when he's trying to get something to us. We can't be ignoring him in prayer and then expect him just to walk into favor. You've got to pay attention to him. Amen. And one thing about it, the Holy Ghost, he knows way more than you or I. Anybody willing to agree with that? Or you want to get hit with a lightning bolt? Favor is an amazing thing. Real quickly, turn with me. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. God gave Joseph here favor with the chief jailer. This phrase is interesting, though. Just real quick. We're round and third headed for home. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 26. Says this, now the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. Do you see that? That's saying Samuel, just as a boy, the verses above that say he was, you know, his mama Hannah wanted to have a child. She couldn't have a child, and God honored her prayer and gave her a child. She had promised, I'll dedicate him to you if you give me a child. And God gave her a child. She dedicated him to the Lord, and he was ministering to the Lord there in the temple, serving God faithfully, living an honorable life, serving God, ministering to God. And the Bible says that God he grew in stature and favor with God and with men. Now, at the same time, in that same chapter, Eli's two sons, the Bible should be saying this about his two boys, Hophni and Phinehas, were Eli's boys. And they were just wild. They just lived a renegade Christian life. And see, in the same chapter, it says Hophni and Phinehas, they were at church. Now, their father's a preacher. Their father's like, in essence, their father's like the pastor. They're stealing offerings from people. Not only that, Hophni and Phinehas, they're sleeping with women. They're stealing offerings. And the Bible said the Lord was going to put a stop to it. They did it so far. They backed into the judgment of God. And God said, I'm going to put a stop to it. So the favor that should have been on Hophni and Phinehas, there wasn't favor on them. Judgment came on them. And then this little boy that nobody knows, this little boy, Samuel, nobody knows. He's just ministering to the Lord, living a life of faithfulness to God. And the Bible says he's growing in stature and in favor with God and with men. Same thing that happened to Joseph. He grew not just in favor with God, but also God gave him influence, favor with men. Look, one more scripture. Look over at Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Now, we just left 1 Samuel 2 and 26. And we were at Genesis 39 and 21. And now we're at Luke 2 and 52. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. See, there it is again. Favor with God and men. Jesus had that on him. But sometimes when people see that, they say, oh, that was the Lord. The Lord had that on. That's not for, that was just the Lord. He had favor with God and men. That was the Lord. No, listen, God will put that on you. God wants to put that on you. He wants to give you favor, not just with him, but with people with which you have to do. He wants to give you favor down there on your job. Favor down there at the block association. Favor over there at the bank. Favor down there at the mortgage company. He wants to give you favor when you're in front of the car dealer. Favor when you're negotiating a deal. Favor when you're negotiating. I wish I had an amen in here. God wants to extend his favor to you. But very, very important that we realize this. We've seen that with Samuel. We've seen that with Joseph. We've seen that on Jesus. What's it say? God's no respecter of persons. If it was true for Samuel and Joseph and Jesus, it's true for you. But the thing about it is, we have to pay attention to their lives. Joseph didn't have that kind of favor on him for no reason. He lived a certain way before the Lord. And today we live in a culture that tries to suggest to you and I, it doesn't matter how we live. Now, I'm not suggesting that we can pay for by our lives or by our living, that we can somehow pay for anything that the Lord Jesus has done for us. The redemptive realities that the Lord Jesus has given to us are awesome. And he has paid the price completely and totally by himself. Thank God. But we ought to live a lifestyle that's worthy of what he's done. James said it this way, faith without works is dead. We can't just live any kind of way and expect to walk in the best of what God has. I wish I had an amen in here. But we ought to live a lifestyle because he's worthy. We ought to live a lifestyle that's holy unto the Lord. And then we can expect to walk in God's best, in God's highest, in God's fullest, because God is longing to pour out more and more and more of his favor upon you. You've already had his favor upon you. But however good it's been, God's got better than that for you. however high it's been, whatever level it's been at, God's got another level of favor for you. He's got favor for you so high and unusual that your mind has not even conceived how much God wants to do for you. It was on Jesus. It was on Samuel. It was on Joseph. It's on you. But let's remember, they lived a life that was worthy of the things God had done for them. And if you and I will live that lifestyle, worthy of the things God has done, don't let people trick you in this culture, this pervasive culture spiraling out of control, trying to suggest you and I that it doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter how you live, just go around and do anything you want. That's not how Joseph got that favor on him. God saw what happened with Potiphar's wife. God saw how he conducted himself. God saw how he lived his life. And then God opened the windows of heaven and poured his favor on him. And God sees you, my brother and sister. He sees what you're going through. He sees what you're dealing with. He draws to your side to help you. Every head bowed. Father, we've endeavored to share the power of your favor. Oh, Father, what a powerful scripture you left us. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and granted him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Father, everyone here has to deal with someone, whether it's a boss at work, whether it's a deal they're trying to negotiate or a car they're trying to buy. Father, your people need your favor in a high and unusual way. Thank you for the favor you've already extended. Thank you for the favor you've already given. Hadn't been for your favor, where would we be? We couldn't stand. But Father God, we want you to extend your favor, pour it out at a level like you did with Joseph, like you did with Samuel, like that favor that was on Jesus, with God and men. Yet someone needs to make some adjustments in here. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you may need to make an adjustment here. The thing about God's kindness, God gave Joseph kindness, but Romans chapter 2, it says this, that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Every head's bowed in here, but I wonder, anybody, you're here tonight and you're saying, you know what, brother? You know, I need to make some adjustments in my life. I need to get some things right. I haven't been living for God. Turned and gone my own way. I want God's hand and favor on me, though. His kindness has been so good to me. I want to come home tonight. I wonder, can I see your hand in here tonight? Say, I want to make things right. Yeah, I see your hand. I want to make things right with the Lord. I want to get things right. I wonder, can I see your hand? I want to get things right with God. I want his favor in my life. I want to walk that road with the Lord. Yeah. You may be here and maybe you never gave your life to Christ. Tonight's your night. Let me see your hand. So I'll tell you, God loves you so much. God's with you. Hey, I want to ask you to do something tonight. I just want you, you know, you raise your hand. I want you to just do something bold for me. I want you just to stand up on your feet. I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray for you particularly and especially. And I want you to stand up on your feet. I want you to just step right out of the aisle and right out into the aisle and come right down here and let me pray for you. You're saying tonight, hey, I've got to make some adjustments. I want to get right with Christ. I want to get right with God. Just stand right up on your feet. Stand right up on your feet. I want you to come down here tonight. You know, sometimes somebody says, well, that's a tough walk. That's a tough walk. You know, one thing Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. But you know God's dealing with you and he's dealing with your heart. And I want to encourage you now. Stand up on your feet. God's dealing with you. Come on down here and let me pray for you. Come on down here. That's right. That's right. That's right. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. That's right. That's right. That's right. God's dealing with you. That's right. Come on. Come on. That's right. Stay right here. I'm going to do just what I said. I'm just going to pray for you. Come on. That's right. That's right. Somebody else, God's dealing with you. Come on down here. Guys, just lift one hand to the Lord because that's really where your help comes from. He's really the one who's going to help you. He's going to show you his favor. He's going to show you how real he is. I know it was hard to come out of your seat and come down here tonight, but God's going to prove to you that it was worth it. He's going to show you tonight that it was worth it. All right, I just want you to say this prayer after me. Father God, I turn to you and I ask you to forgive me. Say it with us in the congregation. I turn to you and I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins. I acknowledge that Jesus died. He died for me. He paid the price for me, for my sins. So I accept your offer of forgiveness. And I thank you for total restoration in my mind, in my soul, in my spirit. I thank you for total restoration. And Father God, do what you said. Pour your favor on me. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. God is going to make your walk worth it. I want you to do one more thing for me. Ben, bring a lady down here and two guys. These guys are going to pray with you personally and individually and make sure you got everything. These are our prayer team members. And they're going to make sure you got everything that you came for. This has been. So I just want you to go with them to a place of prayer, and they're going to help you and answer any prayer that you have. But I guarantee you one thing, God is going to make it worth your walk down here tonight. And God is going to prove himself to you personally in a way that will blow your mind. So go with them now, and they're going to help you answer any questions that you have. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand up on your feet. Let's pray for them. Just turn your hand toward them. Praise God. Let's pray for them. Don't you remember when you walked, when you came down? Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for all three of them. We thank you for ministering life to them, ministering peace to them, ministering joy to them. And Father God, we count on you to do what you said, to pour out your favor on them in a high and unusual way. Father, take them to another level of your kindness, of your goodness. They'll know from tonight on that you are with them, and you're extending kindness to them, and you're granting them favor with everybody with whom they have to do. So may they be filled with the Holy Ghost, Father, and all of the goodness that you have for them, Father, in Jesus' name. We believe it and thank you for it. Amen. Praise God. One more thing before we go. One more thing. You're standing there, but every head bowed one more time now. Someone here, you don't need to come down here, but you need to make an adjustment. You need the favor of God, but there's some things you ain't doing right, and you know it. You and God know it. You and God know all about it. Every head's bowed. Every head's bowed. Every head's bowed. But I just want you to acknowledge, just lift your hand. I don't want you to come down here. I just want you to lift your hand. I need to make an adjustment. Let me see your hand. I need to make an adjustment. Yep, yep. I need to make an adjustment. I need to make an adjustment. I need to make an adjustment. Yeah, yeah. Okay, praise God. Okay, put your hands down. Father, you see honest hands, honest hearts. And I just believe there is a tidal wave of your goodness. You've already been so good. You've already been so good. But I believe there's a tidal wave of your goodness about to flood your people. And so we'll just give you glory for it in advance. Just thank you in advance in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, one more thing before we go. Listen, sit down real quick for me now. Sit down real quick. We just slid across home. We want to just take this last opportunity really to give for Pastor Hagen. His birthday is coming up, the 3rd. And we want to take this last opportunity. We just encourage you. You know, the Bible says, Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. One way we can remember them is on their birthday. And Pastor's birthday coming up. How many want to be a blessing to him? Yeah, glory to God. Amen. Praise God. You can text your gift tonight. Just text to 28950. Put in the word Hagen, space, and the amount you'd like to give. 28950, Hagen, space, and the amount you'd like to give. Online, you give too. Bless Pastor on his birthday. Many of you, you tune in, you watch. Pastor is a blessing to you every single week. Bless him on his birthday. You give too. And let's just bless the man of God real, real big. So if you're texting to give, or you can give at the kiosk, or if you're giving by physical envelope, why don't you hold your gift up to the Lord? Where's mine? There we go. All right, hold your gift up to the Lord. Father, we thank you now. Honor you and bless you for your goodness, your many goodnesses to us. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for doors. Oh, doors are about to open for somebody in this place. Oh, man. Doors are going to open for you. Praise God. Somebody has reached out and made an adjustment. Somebody else has reached out in faith. And I just sense God is going to open some doors for you. Hey, I want you to write in your testimony. Write in your testimony. God's favor has happened to you in some way. Let us know about it, would you? Father, we just bring this offering for Pastor. And we just love him. Just love him. Thank you for his faithfulness down through the years, Father God. And to this church family locally and worldwide, we just thank you for him, his obedience and faith. His Father, his actions and his obedience have affected a whole generation. And we just want to bless the man of God. So thank you for receiving this offering, Father God, and blessing our pastor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's let the ushers just handle their business. These are the fastest ushers this side of heaven. And they'll be out of the way. Just pronto. And if you're here, did we have any first-time guests tonight? We did. If it's your first time, wave your hand, and our connection team members are going to go to you, and we want to give you a good gift, and it's not an 8-track tape. We want to give you a good gift, and on behalf of our pastors and church family, just for coming. You say, why are you giving us a gift? Because we want to bless you. We're so glad you came. And won't you come back here, Pastor? So come back on Wednesday and then Sunday morning, come back here, Pastor. But we just want to bless you. So go with them right now. Let's thank all of our first-time guests. Thank you so much for coming. You could have been home watching Gunsmoke or something, but you came to church. We just believe there's a blessing when you come to church. There's a blessing, you know, every time you come to church. They're almost there. Brother Hagin shared a story one time, said he went to church and the church was closed. I guess it was a storm or something. And he said right there at the door of the closed doors of the church, something was deposited, dropped down in his spirit. And he asked the Lord, Lord, what is that? And the Lord said, I'm just going to bless you for making the effort to come to church. That's just a blessing for coming. How many know there's a blessing just in coming to church? Amen. All right. I think we're good. So stand up on your feet. Lift one hand to the Lord. Father, we thank you now as we go. Thank you for blessing us, protecting us until we see one another again. Guard us and keep us safe. We'll give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. If you need prayer, come on down here. Brother Paul and these guys and ladies will pray for you, and you won't leave here like you came. God bless you. We love you.